He walked behind Blouse, took the razor from Polly's grateful hand without a word, and said, "There's a few matters we ought to discuss, sir, private-like. I think Perks here ought to get some rest."
"Of course, Sergeant. Pardevant les soldats jeunes, eh?"
"And them too, sir," said Jackram. "You're dismissed, Perks." Polly walked away, her right hand still trembling. Behind her, she heard Blouse sigh and say, "These are tricky times, Sergeant. Command has never been so burdensome." The great General Tacticus says that in dangerous times, the commander must be like the eagle and see the whole, yet still be like the hawk and see every detail.
"Yes, sir," said Jackram, gliding the razor down a cheek. "And if he acts like a common tit, sir, he can hang upside down all day and eat fat bacon."
Well said, Sergeant.
The charcoal burner and his wife were buried to the accompaniment of, to Polly's lack of surprise, a small prayer from Wazza. It asked the Duchess to intercede with the god Nuggan to give eternal rest and similar items to the departed. Polly had heard it many times before. She'd wondered how the process worked. She'd never prayed since the day the bird burned, not even when her mother was dying. A god that burned painted birds would not save a mother. A god like that was not worth a prayer. But Wazza prayed for everyone. Wazza prayed like a child, eyes screwed up and hands clenched until they were white. The reedy little voice trembled with such belief that Polly felt embarrassed, and then ashamed, and finally, after the ringing Amen, amazed that the world appeared no different than before. For a minute or two, it had been a better place. There was a cat in the hut. It cowered under the crude bed and spat at anyone who came close.
"All the food's been taken, but there's carrots and parsnips in a little garden down the hill a bit," Shufti said as they walked away.
"It'd be stealing from the dead," said Wazza.
"Well, if they object, they can hold on, can't they?" said Shufti. "They're underground already."
For some reason, that was, at this time, funny. They'd have laughed at anything. Now there was Jade, Lofty, Shufti, and Polly. Everyone else was on guard duty. They sat by a fire, on which a small pot seethed. Lofty tended the fire. She always seemed more animated near a fire, Polly noticed.
"I'm doing horse scubble for the Rupert," said Shufti,
easily dropping into a slang learned all of 20 hours ago.
"He specifically asked for it. Got lots of dry horse jerky from Three Parts, but Tonka says she can knock over some pheasants while she's on duty."
"I hope she spends some time watching for enemies too," said Polly.
"She'll be careful," said Lofty, prodding the fire with a stick. "You know, if we're found out, we'll be beaten and sent back," said Shufti.
"Oh, by," said Polly, so suddenly she surprised herself. "By whom? Who's going to try out here? Who cares out here?"
"Well, wearing men's clothes is an abomination unto Nuggan."
"Why?"
"It just is," said Shufti firmly. "But
you're wearing them," said Polly.
"Well, it was the only way," said Shufti, "and I tried them on and they didn't seem all that abominable to me."
"Have you noticed the men talk to you differently?" said Lofty, shyly.
"Talk?" said Polly.
"They listen to you differently too."
"They don't keep looking at you all the time," said Shufti. "You know what I mean? You're just another person. If a girl walked down the street wearing a sword, a man would try to take it off her."
"We're trolls. We ain't allowed to carry clubs," said Jade. "Only large rocks. And it ain't right for a girl to wear lichen, because the boys say bald is modest. Had to rub bird doings into my head to grow this lot."
That was quite a long speech for a troll.
We didn't know that," said Polly. Trolls all look the same to us, more or less."
"I'm naturally craggy," said Jade. "I don't see why I should polish."
"There is a difference," said Shufti. "I think it's the socks. It's like they pull you forward all the time. It's like the whole world spins around your socks."
She sighed and looked at the horse meat, which had been boiled almost white.
"It's done," she said. "You'd better go and give it to the Rupert, Polly. Ozza. I told the Sarge I could do something better, but he said the Lieutenant said how good it was last night."
A small wild turkey, a brace of pheasants, and a couple of rabbits, all tied together, landed in front of Shufti.
"Good job we were guarding you, eh?"
said Tonka, grinning and whirring an empty sling around in one hand.
"'One rock, one lunch. Maledict's staying on guard. He said he'll smell anyone before they see him, and he's too edgy to eat. What can you do with that lot?'